you would, to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27. This is one of those times when you get into a message and you get into a scripture and you know you're going to preach from it, but you don't know what you're going to preach. And I've got little notes written and this, that, and the other that I've jotted down. And to be honest with you, half the time when I write notes down, if you ever looked at my notes, you say, well, I couldn't even read them. Well, welcome to the club. I can't read them either. And so I jot them down in a hurry sometimes. And then I get up here and I think, what have I wrote? What was I wanting to remind myself of? But anyway, tonight I want to look in chapter 27. But I want to deal with an idea, you know, not to kill a dead horse, but let me just approach it this way. By the way, did you turn the air down up here? It's not been turned down then. Well, I see a lot of people fanning, so they must be. So, yeah, go ahead if you would. We'll let Chris turn the air down a little bit. Okay. I had a lot of fans going back there, and I thought I had something else I had to do when I got here, and I usually turn it down, and I didn't turn it down, so it just dawned on me. But anyway, Jeremiah chapter 27, if you got your Bibles. The Bible says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of Ammonites, king of Tyrus, and king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, and to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, chapter 27, 28, 29 deals with King Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the last king of Judah. Now, what's going to happen is Babylon is fixing to come upon Judah. Jeremiah is warning them that they are going to be in bondage. Now, they've already come and flexed their muscle, and they've already come and taken some of the vessels of the temple. They've already come and taken some of the people captive. So Judah knows well that Babylon has a strength and ability to do what it wants to do. And so Jeremiah has been given the word. Now Jehoiakim was Zedekiah's brother. He was killed earlier. But during his reign is when the word of the Lord came and told Jeremiah to make some yokes. And what he did was he made some yokes and he carved them out. Now think about this. Them old prophets of old, God would come upon them to do certain things. And so he come upon Jeremiah and told him to make some yokes. And he not only made a yoke for himself, but he made yokes for five kings. And he wore the yoke, and he sent by the messengers to these five kings to take the yokes to the king and to tell them that they were to symbolize the fact that they were to go into bondage to Babylon. Now, if you remember, Israel and Judah was split at that time, the northern and southern tribes of Israel, and they had forsook keeping the Sabbath day. And therefore, because they had not kept the Sabbath day or the Sabbath year of planting their crops, what God commanded them was every seventh year to let the land rest. But they got greedy. They thought they had to plant a garden every year. And he said if they would skip every seventh year, which was a Sabbath year, that he would give them enough fruit and vegetables in year 6 and 8 that they wouldn't miss it and they would be well supplied. I believe that to be truth. Let me say this. I have found this. to give tithes and offerings to the Lord as he's commanded. I don't miss it. He has a way of seemingly making up for that. Rather stretching it longer, what I have, or give me what I need when I need it. But here he promised Israel the same thing. But for 490 years, Israel had neglected keeping the Sabbath of the land. So God was going to teach them a lesson. He was going to take them into Babylon as captive. He'd raised a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar up. And Nebuchadnezzar was to be the first world ruler that Daniel had the visions for. He was to conquer. And we'll see in a moment that God said that he would conquer and he would use Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his son's sons. And then he would let them go into be captive. And we know that to be true. If you remember, Nebuchadnezzar came on the scene. Then his grandson, Belshazzar, was ruling. Remember what happened when Belshazzar was ruling? The handwriting on the wall? And then God allowed Belshazzar to be taken in captive by the Medes and the Persians because he was through with Babylon. Now, I want to go back and say this in my introduction. Patriotism, and to be a patriot of your country, is a good thing. We see the question raised all the time. I'm not going to get into the kneeling and all this, but just to say this, and you've heard me say it before, it's disgusting. And if they're going to do it, they're not going to get a nickel of my money. And I hope we starve them out. And then if we did, then they think about that a little bit. But anyway, getting on beyond that, this country's been good to them. It's been good to us. Amen. God has blessed this country. Amen. What we can do for this country is this. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe, I can't tell you how many people's told me this. Preachers, I don't believe in getting mixing politics and religion." Let me tell you what you can do for your country. And we're going to see this tonight. The greatest form of being a patriot is to support the Word of God in your country. Now listen to me. There are some ways. Some people say, "Well, I don't know which candidate to support." Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. When you have a candidate railing against Israel, vote for the other one. When you have a candidate wanting to kill babies, God specifically calls it murder, shedding innocent blood, one of the things that is abomination to God, support the other one. When you have someone pushing all the gays and all these other rights that God calls abomination, vote for the other. You vote for your land. You don't vote for your pocketbook. Somebody said, "Well, I voted this one because I think I'll make more money that way." The Bible says when the righteous rules, the people rejoice. When the wicked rules, people mourns. I'll tell you what. A lot of them whining and crying over some things for the last several months. I whined and cried for the last 8 years. Because I tell you, there's a lot of destruction done in this country. It wasn't envy against any one person. It was against what they were doing in this country. The only thing that will make this country great is heeding to the Word of God. When you refuse to heed the Word of God, I don't care what country it is, then what will happen is sin is a reproach to any nation. And so what will happen is that nation will suffer. The Bible says and tells us that clearly. And what we need to understand is this. We need to do our best to try to keep. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in the Ten Commandments because it offends the Muslims. Well, let the Muslims stay where they were at.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments was here a long time before the Muslims came. What I'm trying to get across to you is this: there can only be one God.
Amen.
This country was blessed because we knew, recognized and we knew which God was real.
Amen.
We understood and we set up things our forefathers did, and that's why we receive the blessings that we have. That's why there's not been another nation upon the face of the earth in the history of mankind that's been blessed like America has been blessed.
Amen.
We've had a lot of patriots throughout the years. Our forefathers that fought for this nation was great patriots. They gave everything for this land. But what happened now is we have rose to the level of being the world leader, and now we have allowed all this junk to come into our country, and now we can't find patriotism anymore. And we need to be patriots to our country. We do that by the Word of God. I'll show you in just a moment. Now, notice if you would, that what Jeremiah is doing, he is begging Zedekiah, king of Judah, to submit to Babylon and to submit to the rule of Babylon. Babylon wasn't taking the reign over Judah because of their muscle. They were taking the reign over Judah because God determined that they would do that. He was using Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, even though Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it, he was using him to accomplish his purpose on the universe and on the earth. And so here we find that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah to put yokes upon him and these five kings and to try to get across to Zedekiah to submit to the will of Nebuchadnezzar and to the will of God ultimately. But look on in verse 4. It says, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemeth meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the fields have I given also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of this land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. In other words, will take captive of him. Just like God said it was going to happen, that's the way it's going to happen.
Amen.
Now listen to me very carefully. One thing you can count on, you young people, listen to me. You got one thing that you can listen to. Don't listen to a bunch of news networks. It'll just confuse your mind. It's a bunch of garbage going around. You don't know what truth is and what's not truth. And it's hard to find what real news is anymore. But let me tell you something. When God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen just like he says, just according to his plan, just according to his timetable. And so here he said, I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and his son's son. And when I'm through with them, I'm going to bring some other kings in. They're going to take him and be captive. And that's exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, on over there, God told him exactly how long it was going to be. It was going to be 70 years. 1 year for every 7 years that they had not let the land rest. 490 years they had not let it. Do the arithmetic. 7 into 490 is 70 years. So for 70 years, they would be captive in Babylon, and they would have to let their land rest. And so we find that God had said, and by the way, God also said who was going to come in and take Babylon. He told them when he was going to do it, how he was going to do it. He called them by name, by Cyrus, by name, 200 years before he was ever born. Can I tell you something about this great God we serve? There are no secrets with God. Somebody said, I was born in my family. I was a mistake. You're not a mistake. There are no mistakes with God. God knows every person from the foundation of the world. He's got a plan from the very beginning. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, known unto God are all his works from the beginning until the end. There's nothing secret with God that God that sneaks up on God. God knows it all. And look here. He already knows what he's going to do with America and where he's going to use her. And when he's through with her, he'll do what he wants to with her. He has a right. He raised her up. He can take her down. And so if this nation wants to prosper, we honor the word of God. Amen? And therefore, we try to do that. And we've tried to take them out of everything, our schools, our courts, even our churches anymore. We've tried to take the word of God out. But our country won't prosper if we do. Let's continue on, if you would. Then in verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with sword, with a famine, with a pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand." In other words, he says, now listen. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to understand. This is what God said that's going to happen. And if you don't submit to the will of the king of Babylon, and by the way, had Zedekiah agreed to listen to the word of God and obeyed the word of God, God was going to let him stay in the land and only pay tribute. Judah was only going to pay tribute to Nebuchadnezzar. But Zedekiah hardened himself, and so here Jeremiah said, the Lord said that anyone who doesn't put their neck in the yoke to Babylon, they're going to suffer the sword, they're going to suffer pestilence, and they're going to suffer famine. And so he said those things were going to come upon them. Look in verse 9. "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon." And so what he was doing was, he said, and Jeremiah said this, he said, now listen. He said, there's a whole lot of preachers, they'll be telling you what you want to hear. You'll find them everywhere. They were in Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah said, now Zedekiah, you better not be listening to all those people that says something contrary to what I've said. You judge what I preach, and you judge what everybody else has preached by the word of God. You have the tools to try every spirit. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I don't know whether this guy is legit or whether he's not. Simple. Judge him by the word of God. If he's by the word of God, he preaches the word of God. If he doesn't preach the word of God, discard him. You have no use for him. If he tells you what you want to hear, and by the way, there's a whole lot of people telling people what they want to hear. And there's a whole lot, you know, back in 911, when we got our terrorist bomb, and people saying, somebody stood up, one of the preachers did, and said, judgment of God. And they about run them off TV. You had all these other preachers and all these other people said and condemn him for what he said, and how could he bring up the judgment of God and people suffering and people dying? What do they think the judgment of God is? You think God couldn't prevent that from happening? Sure he could. Now listen to me very carefully. When you see people and they're on the other side of the word of God, don't listen to them. And so Jeremiah said, the Lord said, don't you be listening to these diviners and enchanters and dreamers and all these other people telling you that everything's going to be okay. They were telling them, oh, you won't have to serve the king of Babylon. God done declared that they would. There was nothing that they could say to change that. And so yet they were saying it anyway, because that's what people want to hear. Look in verse 10. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. In other words, God says, listen, you listen to a lie, it's from the devil. You listen to a lie, and what will happen to you instead of being able to stay on your land and just pay and pay taxes to Babylon? You'll be taken to Babylon. And in verse 11, but the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. That's why Jeremiah sent to the other five kings besides Judah and said, you tell them, they'll put their neck in the yoke and be submissive, they'll get stay in their land. Well, all the nations decide they just get together and fight. They get Egypt, Pharaoh, to help them. And they therefore they wouldn't have to submit to Nebuchadnezzar. But look in verse 12. The Bible says, I spake also unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him with his people, and live. In other words, Jeremiah said, I went to the king himself. I didn't just talk to his messengers, I went straight to the king. And I told the king he better do this. He better put his neck in the yoke. Look in verse 13. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? And so he asked him, he said, why would you want to die? Now he done knew that his brother, Jehoiakim, had an issue, and he saw how his brother had died under the stems of Babylon. Keep your finger there a moment. Go back, if you would, chapter 22 of Jeremiah just a moment. In chapter 22, look, if you would, in verse number 18. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, all my brother or all my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, O Lord, or all his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. In other words, they're going to drag him, they're going to throw him, and they're going to treat him like an animal. That's what they did. Now, here Zedekiah is listening to these false prophets saying, oh, it won't happen to you. He done saw what happened to his brother when his brother didn't listen to the Lord. Now, look on in your Bible just a moment. If you look, and by the way, if you want to know how Zedekiah ended up by not listening, keep your finger there a moment and go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 24. Passed it up four times. The Bible says that Zedekiah was evil in the sight of the Lord. Look in verse 19. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. In other words, all that his brother had done. Now, also, there's a place in, let me find it real quick. I wrote it down. I can find it real quick. While we're here, over I believe it's in chapter 25. Let me look real quickly. Can't see it right now. I've lost my place. Just a second. Let me see if I can find it written. I wrote it down here. In 2 Kings 25, verse 4 is where I'm looking for. The Bible says, and the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled that night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans, which is Babylonians they're talking about, were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. The army of Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plain of Jericho, and all the army were scattered from him. Now this is Zedekiah. And so they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. In other words, now Zedekiah didn't want to listen to what Jeremiah said, didn't want to listen to the word of God. He's going to listen to the lies of everybody else saying it's going to go against the word of God. Everything's going to be okay, even though God said it wouldn't. And so what happened when he saw the army coming, he took off, thought he'd escape. They run him down, they caught him, they caught his sons, and they killed his sons right in front of him where you could watch them. Kill his sons. Now watch what else happened. And the Bible said in verse 7, they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah. Then after they got let him watch him kill all his sons, then they put his eyes out, made him blind. and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Now let me ask you this. Wouldn't Zedekiah have been a lot better off just listening to the Lord? Instead of going through all that. Now go on, turn back if you would in Jeremiah real quick. Let me finish up and show you a couple more things real quickly. Then what we find is, in verse 14, the Bible says, in chapter 27, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. In other words, he said, now listen, just because they use my name, somebody said, well, preacher, they preach and use Jesus the same way everybody else does. But just because they use the name of the Lord doesn't mean it's right. And God said, listen, they use my name, but I didn't send them. You want to know how you can tell when they're not speaking what I said? Because they're not speaking the same thing I spoke. If you want to know who's sent and who's got the voice of the Lord, see if they're preaching the same thing. Listen, can I tell you something about preaching? Preaching is not easy. Sometimes you got to tell people things they don't want to hear. Sometimes you got to sit there and say, and you got to deal with issues that you don't want to deal with. You know, I never like to preach about hell, but my friend, hell's real. And so you need to understand that that's very, very important that we understand that. Now, let me say this, because you need to understand in verse 14, 15, he said they're preaching lies. Can I tell you before I close this message up here in a moment, can I tell you three or four lies that's going on you need to be very, very careful about? Now listen to me very carefully. One is there is this lie, and a lot of preachers preach it. They don't preach it from the pulpit, but they preach it, or they don't preach it in their normal church services, but they preach it at funerals. That's this lie that you can be good enough and go to heaven. Good works will get you there. Just be a good person. Just be a good dad. Be a good mom. Have somebody good say something good about you. I appreciated the other day somebody had to deal with a difficult situation. And Chris happened to go to the funeral, and she told me, she said, they didn't try to preach them into heaven. I said, well, good. They dealt with the situation. They dealt with the family and people that was there. Somebody called me the other day and said, will you come and preach this lady's funeral? I didn't know her from nothing. Never met her. And I said, I'll come and preach. But I said, and so when I got there, I met with her daughter. I sat down with her daughter, and I listened to what her daughter had to say. And then I told her daughter, I said this. I said, you can say anything you want to about your mom. But I said, when I get up there, I'll be preaching Jesus, because I didn't know your mom, but I do know Jesus. And I know this, there's not a person that will be here that does not need, well, Martin was there. He was at the funeral when I preached. And I tried my best to preach to the people that was there, didn't I, Martin? And because I couldn't preach to her because I didn't know her. But I could preach Jesus to them. But can I tell you, that's one of the biggest lies, and it's fabricated from funerals. And we've all gotten to a point where we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so every time we try to find something to say to send everybody to heaven. We can't do that, folks. We need to let the Word of God stand upon itself. Because all we do, you know, I remember one time, a guy told me he was lost, and I remember about 250 people being at his funeral. And that guy got up there and preached. Oh, he's on the streets of gold. He was an example for all of you to follow. And I thought, how many people you sent to hell by your message that you just preached today? Thinking that good works or doing something good, doing something kind would gather God's attention. Can I tell you another lie that's going around that we need to be very careful about? helping people out economically, food kitchens, is a replacement of the gospel. It can't save a soul. You might put chili in somebody's belly and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not going to save their soul. It's going to take Jesus and preaching of the gospel to save their soul.
Amen.
The third lie is this. It is the way that this world's going right now, and that is that all churches need to just combine. Drop their differences, come together, uplift, and we'll reign in the reign of Christ, and He'll reign over the churches. Not a bigger lie ever. The Bible says there'll be a one world religion. There'll be a whore, a great whore, a substitute for a church. She calls herself the bride, but she's nothing but a whore. She sold herself to every king that was going around. She's decked herself out with gold and pearls and precious stones. Now look on real quickly, I'll finish up. Verse 16, I spake to the priests and all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not unto the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? And if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make an intercession with the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. So Jeremiah said this. Now stay with me a minute. Don't leave me. Jeremiah went to the priest that was in the temple. And they were wanting to believe a lie. They were believing the same thing. They were hearing what they wanted to hear from these false prophets. And Jeremiah said, don't believe them. They'd already taken some of the vessels from the temple. And he said, okay, if they be true prophets then, you have them to intercede the king of Babylon will bring those vessels back and put them back in the temple. Because God done prophesied, he's going to take all the vessels away. And if you remember the story in Daniel, remember what Belshazzar drunk out of the night that he was drunk, had his party? What did he call for? Anybody remember? The vessels that was taken. You know how they end up in Babylon? They didn't listen to Jeremiah. And the priests didn't listen to them. They listened to what they wanted to hear. But God's word stood true. And when they didn't, they could have stayed in their land. They could have paid taxes and they went about their way. But instead, God took them, took the vessels and everything to Babylon. Just like he said he would. Now finish the chapter up with me real quick and I'll close. Verse number 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the bases, concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and they shall be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord, when I bring them up and restore them to this place. Now you remember when Nehemiah and Ezra and them all come back, and they come back after 70 years. They came back to rebuild Jerusalem, remember that, from Babylon, and they brought the vessels with them. They did exactly what God said was going to happen. And so tonight, I just want to say this. You know, we have a lot of arguments about patriotism. But let me tell you something. To be a true patriot is to honor the Word of God in your country and support the push of the Word of God in your country. And stand on what it says, not upon what your country does.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, you didn't support them when they voted for gay marriage. No, because the Word of God was clearly against it. And so I didn't have to ask which side of the issue to be on. And I'm still against it. And the Bible still says it's abomination. It's not chains. And so tonight, I just want to share with you, there's no better thing that you can do for your country then it honors the word of Lord. Therefore, when we do the pledge, when we do those things, one nation under God, that's why I'm going to stand, I'm going to reverence our flag.
Amen.
Because of what God's done for us. Amen. Let's stand.